Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency.
A personal trainer has been off sick, stating that it was for a medically required prolapse procedure. However, there are rumours it may have actually been for a cosmetic Brazilian bum lift, aka a BBL.
She hasn't gone, "I'm going to have a portion of annual leave and then I'm having something done, so I'm going to need a period of sick leave afterwards," which if someone came to you with that level of honesty, we might be a bit more kind of amenable to that conversation. So often where we've got these really strict holiday rules, there's an operational reason for it. If people abuse it, the consequences, okay, fine, you might say, well, it's one staff member. But if that one staff member gets away with it, and the next year three people go and, I'm not suggesting that, you know, next year three people are going to go get BBLs, but they might be like, well, Wendy got away with it.
Just before we start, protect your business from the risk of tribunal, reduce legal costs, and save yourself from HR headaches with our Hero software and employment law consultancy services.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of HRER. We're not doing numbers anymore, are we? We're doing titles.
I thought you were going to forget the name of the podcast then. There was a real sort of weighted pause before. Welcome to HRER.
Which podcast am I on again? Oh, yeah, that's the one that I do.
Which podcast am I
the
on?
The only one
Look
I host.
You a year later of being excited about being on a pod, and I was like, which one am I on? Speaking of which, Michael and I were actually on another podcast. So I feel like we've cheated on our own podcast, but we were very, very grateful guests of the Northern Powerhouse.
And it went well.
Yeah, I think it did go well.
For you, it went well.
I think it went well for both of us.
Good.
Anyway, I digress, but do go and listen to it. That was, it was really good and they're a great outfit.
Will it be out?
I think by the time this airs, it will
should
be.
Should be, yeah.
Anyway, I'm Alyssa Thursfield and this is my co-host.
Oliver Robinson. It's not, I normally go first, but that's all right. That's fine.
Okay, we're bringing the energy today.
We're trying.
We're fired up. And what are we discussing today, Ollie?
Well, the title is Facelifts and Fine Lines. Do employers deserve the details? What do you think that could be about? You know what it's about.
I know what it's about.
Yeah, obviously you know what it's about.
But I think, yeah. So this is our new kind of MO, which is we're moving away from numbers now. We need to kind of tell people what they're listening to. I was going to say weighty titles, but I don't know. I was trying to be clever then about what the subject matter of this is and I'm failing rapidly. Anyway, Ollie, give us the scenario.
The lowdown. Hi, Alyssa. A personal trainer has been off sick, stating that it was for a medically required prolapse procedure. Very personal. However, there are rumours it may have actually been for a cosmetic Brazilian bum lift, aka a BBL, which is the easy way to say it, isn't it? As you know, cosmetic procedures usually require annual leave, and she took the time off our busiest periods when leave wouldn't be approved. How do we proceed?
So this one was a really interesting one because we've got a personal trainer in a very high-end gym environment, where they're very much promoting the natural results.
So
you put
model.
The effort in, yeah, you put the effort in, you eat right, this is what you can, you know, what you can expect. And they do expect their staff to kind of embody that culture because they are the face of the company brand. So bearing that in mind, we then have, we'll call her Jane.
Jane, yeah.
Jane. It's always Dave and Jane, I think.
It is
always
it? Dave and Jane. Yeah.
We'll call her Wendy then. Wendy.
Wendy.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but we'll call her Wendy. So Wendy returns from Turkey. Did we know it was Turkey? I think it was Turkey.
Botched job.
And her proportions have changed rather dramatically.
Yes.
Which is where this assumption came from. It wasn't necessarily that, you know, she sort of walked back into work and they've gone, right, you're a PT, come over here, let's just check that your waist hasn't got any thicker while you've been on holiday or anything like that. You know, we're not air hostesses back in the 1970s. It was very obvious in this situation that something had changed over the course of about a week. So yeah, it's, you know, what do we do in this situation then where we've got someone who has taken medical leave, they've gone off on sick for what they said was a required procedure. As you say, bit TMI, too much information.
Yeah.
Possibly so that we wouldn't ask for more details.
It might have been a little tactic they use. Yeah.
Because you go, someone says prolapse, go, oh, I don't want to know.
Don't tell me.
I don't want to know. You just go and deal with that and you come back when you're
just
ready
the
to.
The word. I was like, whoa.
Exactly. So that maybe then there wouldn't be those additional questions.
I'll add to my notes next time I try book sick off, shall I?
You don't book sick off, Ollie. You're off sick when you're not fit to work.
Yeah.
There's the first red flag. I need to book some sick leave, please.
Oh, dear. I need to get the most of my default 10 company sick days or whatever. I mean, it was that a previous
No, we're not American. We don't do that here. Sorry. But anyway. But yeah, that's the situation. PT, suspecting gone off for a BBL, Brazilian bum lift, has given the excuse that it's actually a medically required operation. Hasn't used annual leave, knowing it was going to get turned down because it's their busiest period. So I think it was January. So after Christmas, you know, when the gym gets rammed, that it's like no annual leave is going to be approved.
No.
It's you've got to be in to help the fatties after Christmas come and shift the pounds, because we all know by the 1st of Feb they're all going to be gone anyway. So we want to make sure that we're getting our pound of flesh literally during January.
You're enjoying this.
I am enjoying this. This is a former fatty. I'm properly enjoying this.
Can throw shade now.
Yeah. And it's all right. Dawn turns the comments off anyway. So if we're going to get trolled, we don't know about it.
We get no hate anyway.
But that's the situation that we've got. How do we address this? How do we have these personal conversations and what are we going to do about it? But I'm sure you've got some questions for me.
I do. We'll go employers first as always. So if a procedure is cosmetic, does it qualify an employee as medically unfit for work, and who decides that?
So this is a really good question, because before the procedure, probably not going to get signed off as unfit to work. This is elective. We are choosing to do this. Then it's probably not going to fall under our sickness procedure for while we have whatever it is done. Once you've had your operation, once the employee's had their operation, if they were to go to their GP and they're jacked up on morphine, you know, poor Wendy can't sit down because she's had a BBL. I don't know. Can you sit down after a BBL? Who knows?
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay, we'll assume. No, not necessarily. I think guys do have them.
It looks weird though, eh? When you see men they have bicep implants, like, oh, yeah. Just go gym, mate.
Yeah.
Just go to gym.
I mean, that is the whole message. Anyway.
That is the message.
Whatever. So poor Wendy can't sit down, jacked up on morphine. If she goes to the GP, they're probably going to sign her unfit to work. She's a PT. She is not fit to work.
Can she lie to the GP as well? She can probably lie to them.
Well, no, I think they send you medical records. But you can say to the GP, look, I don't want much information going on the note. It can just be not fit to work.
Right,
not fit to work under the care of morphine, not fit to work recovering from procedure.
It can be vague.
They will be, and often they are quite vague.
Right, okay.
So once she's had the procedure, this is assuming it wasn't a prolapse procedure, this is assuming it's the BBL, because we don't know at this point, she is probably going to get signed off post-procedure. But the reality is she's taken the whole period off as sick. She hasn't gone, I'm going to have a portion of annual leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm having something done, so I'm going to need a period of sick leave afterwards. Which, if someone came to you with that level of honesty, we might be a bit more kind of amenable to that conversation. But yeah, in this situation, while she may be able to get herself signed off sick, it doesn't necessarily get us around that initial issue, does it? Because up until the point where she leaves the surgeon's table, she wasn't unfit to work at that point. She's taken leave to go and do something that's personal and elective.
She's taken something else, in my opinion.
Well, yeah.
Right, second question. When cosmetic surgery leads to recovery time, how should employers approach sick leave approval and pay entitlement?
So some policies will say, if you have gone and done something that's elective and cosmetic, you're not caught by our sickness policy, you will be expected to take that time off either as annual leave or take special unpaid leave, which
unpaid
can still be,
leave,
yeah, it can still be approved. It doesn't matter what it's for. You could say to your employer, look, I need some time off. I don't particularly want to use my annual leave. I'm going to be honest, I'm not sick, but I don't particularly want to tell you why I'm not here. Can I take the time off unpaid? There's nothing wrong with asking that. It doesn't mean it's going to be approved, but it's better than lying about.
Transparency is important. Anyway,
yeah. And if it is something that's personal, fine. You don't necessarily have to divulge it, but don't lie and say you're sick, which is what sick leave is for. I am too sick to work.
And you're paying her to get a BBL as well.
That's one way. If it's company sick pay, yes, she could. Yeah.
Assuming it's like, she's still in.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but yes, you're paying her to get a BBL.
Yeah, you are, effectively. Mm. If she's still in like that sort of, the policy state, so, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
could never be you, could it?
No,
never
pay
anyone to do
it's
that.
Not me.
Third question. How should HR handle when a PT has violated their strict leave policies? Should they be dismissed? Are we warning people here?
So it depends. I mean, when you've got businesses or organisations where you have really strict leave policies, often it's not just because the employee is difficult. There's often an operational reason around this. So in this environment where we've got the gym, no one's getting time off in January because we know it's going to be mega busy. Where you've got companies that work in retail, Boxing Day sales, you can guarantee no one's getting that day off because you know, if you're on a business park or whatever, that there's going to be a queue outside next that goes around the car park twice.
If anything, you're getting extra staffing, aren't you?
Exactly.
Extra staffing,
yeah,
for that.
So it's not that the employer is being difficult. It's that there's generally an operational reason why you can't have leave. Some of my clients that work in manufacturing will have compulsory shutdown periods. So they're told, you will be off on these days because we shut the factory for a month or whatever. So they can't take time off at other times of year because they have to keep their leave for shutdown. So often where we've got these really strict holiday rules, there's an operational reason for it. If people abuse it, the consequences, okay, fine, you might say, well, it's one staff member. But if that one staff member gets away with it and the next year three people go and, I'm not suggesting that, you know, next year three people are going to go get BBLs, but they might be like, well, Wendy got away with it. I'm going to be sick and I'm going to the Caribbean this January.
Dump trucks for everybody.
That's the thing. It's a consistency point. Also, you know, if we're saying that there's an operational requirement for us to have these periods when people can't be off, we're going to have to enforce it and we're going to have to enforce it quite strictly. Otherwise, the whole thing becomes a bit of a sham. So I'd say this is actually more than a slap on the wrist.
You want to set the sort of precedent moving forward, don't
this,
you?
Yeah, this is particularly if you've got this sort of policy, it's also likely to be covered in your disciplinary policy, or we hope so, that lying to be able to secure time off during times when leave will not be approved is a serious offence because we've got to be able to set that example, otherwise it's going to cause us issues operationally. So if our policies don't say that, then we're reliant on dishonesty, which in some situations can be gross misconduct.
Breach of trust. Yeah.
All that sort of stuff. And particularly where I think Wendy had been there a long time. She knew the deal. You know, she was quite a senior staff member. This wasn't someone who's, you know, rolled in off her first ski season and gone, yeah, I'm going to be a PT for the rest of the winter and then, you know, wing it out to Australia for the rest of the summer and just kind of, you know, take me where the next wave goes. This was someone who was making a solid career as a PT and she worked for the business. Yeah, she knew the score. So again, in that situation, likely to be someone in a position of responsibility, someone that other staff members might look up to and maybe take you know, an element of, well, if she can get away with it, then I can get away with it. So, you know, I'd say yes, it's serious enough, one, to be in a disciplinary situation. When, you know, in the other pod, when we were looking at that disciplinary decider, so we're thinking a bit of things like mitigation. So is there any remorse? Has she admitted? Has she done anything wrong? Has she lied about it? Or actually what aggravates it? You know, she knows this will cause operational difficulties. Did we have to cancel appointments because she wasn't here? Has it affected the business in a negative way in terms of her absence? Not the BBL yet. We're not talking about whether the BBL affects the business in a negative way. Yet. We might get to that. But I'd say, yeah, it's more than a slap on the wrist. And this could be, it could be a dismissal offence.
Really? Would they take into account the fact that, like, this is not only is this, it's quite a controversial procedure, but it's specifically distasteful in the industry she's in.
That's the other point then that we have to look at here is, could we reasonably use this as a reason to dismiss? I'd say having a BBL in itself, not a disciplinary offence. So we'll think about those five reasons again. So I'm not going to fall into the trap I did last time. I need to make sure I put the right fingers down. is it conduct to go and get a BBL? No, it's not. Is it a capability thing? No, it's not. Because we're not saying she's not capable of doing her role.
No.
It's not that something needs to be performance managed. She's not redundant and it's not a statutory reason. We're back to your favourite.
Sosa.
Is it some other substantial reason that if we're in a situation where we've got a high-end gym that relies on naturally driven results and PTs are expected to lead by example to say, look, this is what you can achieve. If that is a requirement for the role, which I'm not saying it was in this situation, if somebody then goes and gets a cosmetic procedure to enhance the way that they look, is that going to cause some sort of clash with the company culture and the way that they are marketing themselves.
Business image and what have you, down the drain?
I'm not going to say no, I'm not going to say yes. It's not something that I've ever come across in a litigation environment, but I think it raises a really, really interesting question around, you know, company image and what it takes to fit in. If they were interviewing someone who had their lips done, they'd perhaps had a breast augmentation, they had lipo and they've got the BBL, is that someone that someone is seriously going to take advice from in a PT environment?
Depends if they know, if they're wise to it, doesn't it? Some people aren't wise to it. They've not seen this woman before and they've got the before and after. They're probably.
But also, when you think about, you know, fitness TikTok, fitness Instagram, these are huge industries. Where you have people who will proactively go and call out fitness influencers for cosmetic procedures. And they'll say, you are talking bull. You did not get those results through diet and exercise. You have done it through cosmetic procedures. And this can destroy influencer careers. They can lose their followings over it. So I think if you've got a situation like this where someone got called out publicly and said, do not go to that gym. They are absolutely full of rubbish. Their PTs are stacked full of silicon and various other things that get them these unnatural results. You know, they are selling you unicorn dust.
The dream, essentially, aren't they?
Yeah, that could impact someone's business. So I'm not saying you could, I'm not saying you couldn't. You know, these things are very much fact-driven when it comes to SOSR, whether we're in an impossible situation. But yeah, I think it raises lots of really interesting questions around, you know, when someone does something like this that is elective and it doesn't fit with our company culture, where do we go with that? But I think in this situation, we'd probably take the easy way out and we'd be pushing on the dishonesty stuff.
Okay. Okay, it's an easier string to pull on, is it, in this situation? You find it, especially in like this sort of this fitness industry, again, specifically where people are more liable to tell little fibs.
Well, it's fiercely competitive, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they are very much image-driven.
Yes.
And not all results come quickly and easily.
No.
You know, you might have people who go and they are doing, you know, they are squatting day in, day out, and those glutes are just not coming.
They ain't popping yet.
You know? Mm-hmm. It's easy to think, you know what, I can jump on a plane to Turkey, I can be back here in a week.
The big old...
Put those, well, they don't even know what they're called, the leggings with all the ruching on them. To make everything look even bigger.
Scrunch bum leggings, I think they're called. Scrunch bum.
I've got another word for them, but I don't think I can say it on here. it is seen as an easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
Though having never had cosmetic surgery, maybe it's not easy. Maybe poor Wendy can't sit down for 3 weeks.
It's really painful, really hard work. I imagine it is.
And it's dangerous. Mm. You know, you do read in you know, the news about people who either die while they're out there or die when they get home from infection or get landed with huge medical bills because they've then had to try and have things fixed.
I've got a funny image in my head on the news. It was news ages ago, but a woman who had it done, like the implant had flipped around. So like on one side, she had like a nice cheek and the other side, it was like a flat plate. It was wild, mate. Like imagine sitting down. For like weeks on end.
It's not going to do much for your back and your hips, that. It's going to throw your posture out.
Very good. Thing you've raised, I was going to ask this earlier. Certain procedures, like there's one in particular I'm thinking of, like reduction surgery for women's breasts for the lower back, is that's kind of cosmetic, but also it can also be
medical.
So
where you've got someone who does have back issues and they then opt for a breast reduction, often that is an NHS procedure. So it's not necessarily done privately. It's been medically recommended where someone does have, you know, posture issues
whatever.
So again, it comes down to the conversations that you're having with the employee. If they lie to you and say, you know, I don't know, like in this situation where she's saying, I'm sick, can't come in, that's very different to going off and getting bum implants. Whereas if it's someone says, look, there's something personal going on, I've got to have a medical procedure, technically I'm fit, it's something to sort out some stuff that, you know, could wait, but I'd prefer not to. That's a nice vague way of saying, look, it's not urgent. It's not, you know, if I don't have this done tomorrow that I'm going to be in a wheelchair or, you know, I'm going to die. So yes, you may call it elective. However, it's something that's going to improve my quality of life.
And that's improve your working life moving forward.
It's a very different conversation to, like I say, getting my bum jacked up.
I want a bigger bum.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, if people want a bigger bum, great.
But what about body image?
I grew up in the 90s when you see like the waifs floating down the runway. And then we've had the Kim K era since where it kind of went the other way. And now I think with Ozempic, we're going back to the skinnies again.
Back to the skinnies.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's just kind of, it goes one way or another. I just kind of like, I'm happy to just kind of sit in the middle now and just go, you know what, I don't know who half these people are on the front of magazines
you
anymore.
Don't ascribe to any of it. It's all
nonsense.
No,
but I think, you know, if it makes someone happy, fine. Do whatever you need to do. Don't lie to your employer, though.
No, absolutely not.
And if you don't want to disclose it, fine, but find a way of talking vaguely without lying to secure the kind of leave that you need.
Yeah, talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't lie,
don't
essentially.
Lie.
Yeah. Employee perspective now. What if I'm not comfortable? We've kind of spoke about this. I might be repeating myself. Aspect of like invasion of privacy. Mm-hmm. If I don't want to admit it's cosmetic, we kind of covered it there. Like
we kind of have.
And you can.
I think, particularly, you know, and there's been situations. There's been this one, and then some of the stuff that I've dealt with in the past, where we're talking about where we're trying to catch the person in the lie, and they've not come clean. So I think where we take this one is, you know, we've got someone who doesn't want to disclose their medical information, but they're digging in.
Okay.
They're not going to come clean.
Stop
so
them.
Say this situation, we've got Wendy who's going, you know what? No, I'm dying on this hill. I was ill. You know, she's not coming clean about the BBL. She's like, what bum? Don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, this thing?
Yeah. Where do we go with that then? And then we're looking at a process whereby we're going to have to try and establish medical information. If we've got someone who's just been off with a cold, we're unlikely to write to their GP to say, can we have this person's medical records? We're unlikely to send them to occupational health. But equally, if we think someone is being dishonest with us, that medical investigation may naturally have to come out as part of that procedure. So look, we think there is a reasonable assumption that you might be lying to us. That reasonable assumption is
Exhibit A.
Your bum seems to have tripled in size in the last week, and there's no reasonable size. We're going to have to come clean and say, look, this is what we think you've done.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is what we think it is.
Someone's got to be honest.
But equally, would we say the same thing to a guy if he looked like he'd put on a bit of weight around his middle? Would we assume if a guy came back and he was filling his jeans a little bit more at the back, would we think?
We'd think he'd been eating good.
Yeah, would we assume he'd been for a BBL?
No.
Are we assuming because she's a woman?
Oh.
So we're getting into sex discrimination territory here.
I don't know. I feel
harassment
like,
territory.
I feel like I could pick them apart easily.
Do you think?
Like a bloke that's put on a bit of weight and a BBL.
Well, this is the line that we've got to tread very, very carefully.
Oh, yeah.
Is that one, it's very personal stuff. But two, if we are making assumptions because it's a woman and she's filled out a little bit, that it's a BBL, then we could be getting, if we have got this wrong.
Big trouble.
Yeah, if we write to that GP and he's like, I've no idea what you're talking about. The girl popped in here with the flu the other week and she sat at home eating Easter eggs for a week and a half.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're in for it. Yeah. That's a front of the Daily Mail claim. My employer fired me for having the BBL that I never had.
Oh, God, yeah.
Hey,
I'll go publicity.
We're going to settle that one.
Yeah.
You know, we're not letting that go anywhere. We're going to get the checkbook out. So we've got to tread really, really carefully. If we're going to accuse someone of dishonesty,
mm-hmm.
We've got to explain ourselves. We've got to be clear about what that allegation is. So it could well be, we don't actually think you were sick. We don't know what it was. We don't know what you were actually off doing, but we just don't believe that you were off sick. So we're going to investigate. We'd like you to come to a meeting and we want to discuss in more detail what you were off with and hope that she kind of hangs herself. That she can't explain what she was off with, that she can't explain the procedure that she's had, she can't explain the medical reasons why, and that we almost load it the other way rather than going, we think it was a BBL. It's, we don't actually believe that you were off with what you said you were.
Okay.
Let's come to a meeting and talk about it.
And you hope she just blurts something out.
So at this point, or that, you know, she can't talk, that she is talking herself around in circles. So we're not going to pull her into a disciplinary yet.
Okay.
This is a fact-finding meeting.
Right.
We think you might be lying to us. Could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hold up our hands and say, really sorry. But we just think there's some stuff that doesn't add up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's come to a meeting. Let's talk about it. In that meeting, if she is saying, well, it was this, are you happy for us to confirm that with your doctor? So rather than saying, we're going to ask your doctor if you had a BBL, it's, would you mind us just confirming what you've said
what she says
with
now.
Your doctor? Well, then why we're into, well, why that? Would she say no? Some people, it's very private, it's very personal. Well, look, we're all friends here. You've disclosed it all in a meeting anyway.
Come on, Wendy.
So in that situation, we can kind of feel like we're weaving our way through it.
Right.
If we get into a meeting and she just clams up, I was off with this. I don't need to give you any more information.
What can you do?
It's kind of cards on the table time at that point. Then are we going to come clean and say this is what we actually think? Or do we abandon it and fight another day?
Right. What's your preferred tactic?
And it's one of those where it's someone's on the phone to me and we're kind of going, we're troubleshooting, going, right, it feels like a bit of a game of chess. And you can get some employees who are very astute who sometimes know the best thing to say is nothing. Because remember, as an employer, we have to have reasonable grounds for what we do. We have to be reasonable in what we're saying. If we were to discipline someone, say, we think you were lying for being off sick, but we can't actually say what we think you were doing.
Can't discipline them.
Is that reasonable? It's probably not, because we don't know what...
Why are you disciplining them?
Precisely.
We don't know.
So it's actually one of these situations where I don't necessarily have the answer. It all depends on what comes out of those conversations and whether we can maneuver the situation to get this in person to tell us enough that gives us that reasonable kind of in to go.
Trying to do the old. Get the fish on the hook, aren't you? Real men. Yeah. That's the thing I'm learning about these sauces.
Sauces.
They're all like they're all very like individual and you've got to ask questions and take it case by case.
I mean, what we might do in this situation... And this one's still kind of unfolding, actually, in real life.
Okay.
And it's something that we've talked about when we talk about GDPR, when we talk about AI and the tech stuff, is maybe a bit of employee monitoring.
I think I was going to actually ask this in the back of my head. I was going to be like, what if they put, like, a flight to Turkey on Instagram or something? Could you use that as...
I mean, I wasn't suggesting that, but you never know. Wendy might have her own Instagram page where she is talking about the gains that she managed to make in the last week and that you've got people calling it out. You never know. So I'm not proactively suggesting that we go and monitor people's social media. Mm-hmm. But if as part of a wider fact-finding process and we are covered in our policies over what we will do as part of investigations, and if we have been clear, so policies these days tend to be quite clear. We may monitor your social media for compliance with your contract of employment and our policies and rules and procedures. So if we are in compliance with our policies and our GDPR policy and we decide to do a bit of monitoring and we find that she is doing stuff that's inconsistent with what she said, again, that might give us the in.
And we can bring that up in the meeting and be like, what about this?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Last sort of employee question. I'm restricted to annual leave when it's busy. Can I have some leniency when booking this kind
BBLs.
Of
yes, no. BBLs? No. Not for a BBL. I mean, look, if you have got someone who needs life-saving surgery or their kid is seriously ill... That's very, very different. So often where you do have these bans or these blanket policies in relation to leave, where you have a family situation or an emergency that can't be solved in another way, employers generally will be reasonable. And we have to come back to that. You know, this is a two-way relationship. So yes, an employer might say, look, I know we are not supposed to be off. However, my partner is seriously ill. They're having to go into hospital. They need an operation and I want to go and sit by their bedside. You're going to struggle to find a reasonable employer that would say, no, I'm not prepared to grant you a bit of special leave, compassionate leave, or a bit of holiday to go and do that. There's always going to be a situation where we're going to have to show a bit of flexibility. And it's something when I'm asked to draft these policies that I will tell people to bear in mind. So I will often build into them. Yes, we have blanket policies in relation to leave. However, discretion may be used where there are instances of, you know, serious medical instances or emergencies, family emergencies, things like that. But it's discretionary.
Flexibility is built in, I've found that to be fair. Like, most employers are pretty compassionate and flexible when something's gone awry. Lessons learned. What emergency measures can HR departments take to prevent this happening in future?
Cosmetic leave, cosmetic procedures policy. No, I won't go that far. But lots of sick leave policies do build it in.
Right.
To say, this is the way our sick leave policy works. If you are having elective or cosmetic procedures, you are not covered by our sick leave and you are expected to disclose, you don't have to disclose what you're having done, but that you need time off for something medical, but you know it's not covered by the sickness policy. So please may you have alternative leave, which is a really elegant way around it. You've got someone who say, I'm doing something elective. I know I'm not covered by the sick leave policy. Hint, hint. Please, can I have another kind of leave? And the likelihood is, with enough notice, it will be granted.
Fine.
There's no need to necessarily lie about it. The situation with Wendy, sick leave was full pay.
Wendy wanted to get paid for the BBL.
She wanted to get paid for the BBL.
She did.
I would say it's around that policy stuff, but it's just that if you've got someone who is navigating this kind of thing, it really is the sort of thing you want to take advice on. These are sensitive conversations. You could land yourself in a situation where you've got sex discrimination, disability. You know, maybe she really did have a prolapse.
You don't know.
Maybe there is something going on, and then we end up in a conversation around disability discrimination and sex discrimination.
I'm off on a deep rabbit hole on whether like BBLs are beneficial for prolapses after this.
I have no idea.
I don't think so. Do you think so. Little bonus question. Do you think you could spot it if a woman had it done? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you've seen the like Nicki Minaj, Kim Kardashian, they look ridiculous.
There's those that are like really over the top. Is it more acceptable for me to say, because I suppose if you sit in a gym and you're having a good look to try and work out who's had a BBL, you're probably going to get thrown out.
Yeah, you're not.
Whereas, maybe I could sit there and kind of with a yes, no, and my thoughts on the...
Good luck.
I think there's a profile that comes with them.
I find that the legs don't line up. I mean, the leg muscle don't line up with that because the legs haven't been used to gain that.
Yeah.
And the fact she's done this.
And they're not lifting heavy.
No.
They're not.
Exactly.
They're there with you know, the shape obviously that they wanted to achieve through lifting.
This don't line up.
And they're not lifting heavy.
Yeah.
You know, so they're squatting with like 20 kilos across their shoulders. It's like you didn't get glutes like that by lifting 20 kilos, love. That's not the way it happens.
You think about it, it's quite brave of her to do this in the job she's doing because to walk in with a BBL and be like, I didn't get one done.
Yeah.
In a room of muscle and exercise professionals who have built careers on the human anatomy and expecting them not to see it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So well done, Wendy, for your bravery on that.
for the sheer kind of hard-nosedness.
Yeah, just a delusion, if anything. Yeah.
I think some people, when they carry a bit of extra weight, perhaps think that they can hide it in that sense. But there's a funny shape to them.
A mile off, mate. It's like I say, the bum's done, but the legs are like mine.
I mean, you've paid a lot of attention to this stuff, Ollie.
I've seen like, what's the Nicki Minaj video where she's doing all the madness?
I don't know. I know that there's a guy...
Anaconda.
He pops up on my...
Anaconda, of course. My favourite song by Nicki Minaj.
There's a guy who pops up on my Instagram. Because I do follow a lot of fitness stuff online. And I think he's an Australian guy. Super buff. Really, really kind of stacked. And he calls out BBL influencers.
Do you know his name, off chance?
No. I'll have to find it and link it.
He's got quite a lot of followers?
Yeah, lots.
Zach Smith?
I don't know. He's heavily tattooed.
Beard.
No, I don't know if he does. Anyway, we'll find him. Okay. But people will send him videos to go BBL or not.
Nice.
And he's pretty, he sits and kind of, he'll watch them do a bit of workout and he's like, right, no, this is what I think it is.
We need that.
Yeah.
BBL, please.
And he does it in actually quite a respectful way. He's not objectifying body or body shape or anything like that.
Science-based.
Yeah, and he obviously knows anatomy really, really well and what can and what can't be achieved through diet, exercise or... BBLs and steroids, you know, it's...
That's where we're at now, isn't it? BBLs and steroids, man. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Have you got any closing thoughts you want to offer the audience?
I'd say review policies, any situations like this where you just kind of go, what the actual, you know, just ring me. It's one of them. And also when I might have a bit of a head scratcher and go, you know what, for a change, I'm going to have to think about this. Or I think we're going to have to be quite strategic. It's not kind of one of the quick fix ones that we normally come up with. This really is kind of a discussion piece.
A learning curve for everybody involved. Yeah. Sweet. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Cheers. Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in and don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media or even HRER@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect. But by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier and more productive workplaces.